Welcome to HQAF Radio. I'm Alana.
And I'm Francis. And this is a show about two best friends.
Do you want to hear my idea for the intro, or should we just dive right in? I kind of wanted to talk through it first and kind of get your thoughts on it. I know we're supposed to be authentic in our intros, but you know we're fucking not. But still, I wanted to tell you what my ideas were for the intro and see what you think.
Oh, no, tell me. Yeah, I want to hear it.
Oh my God. So, okay, first off, I'm very upset by this. I mean, of course, this is very enjoyable, but for different reasons. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm missing the God subplot from this. I just feel like it's really missing a comedy component without it. I'm not saying that I was less interested because there wasn't a God complex or subplot, I should say, as well as a relationship standpoint, but it did make it way less interesting and a little bit less ridiculous, though there's still some ridiculousness in here.
Hold on. Is this the intro still, or are we like doing the analysis? I thought you were going through ideas for the intro.
Oh, that was my intro. Like, we talk about it. I don't know. I guess it's...
Oh.
Okay, I can gulp again.
Okay, I was just confused. I was so confused. I was like, are we talking about the episode right now?
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I'm one, like, glass of wine in, so I'm slightly tipsy. I did not drink as much as I should have during the inauguration. I was out of wine, so...
I guess, and maybe this is a good start, starting intro point, but, like, you know, the fact that he's a hyper metal what? Like, version of Sonic? Like, what does that even mean?
Oh, my God. Wait, maybe I should save this for the analysis, but I have a lot to share with you about this. Actually, should we just dive right in?
Yeah, we're already analyzing.
So, have you ever seen the Sonic the Hedgehog the movie? Sonic the Hedgehog the movie?
No, I haven't.
Came out in the 90s. Not a lot of people have seen it. I own it on DVD.
Why am I not surprised by this?
Yes. So, it is called, the something something. It's about Hypermetal Sonic, essentially, right? And, effectively, I have stolen the plot of that movie and adjusted it slightly. I'm honestly very upset that I didn't have an ending because I wanted to see if I was actually going to be original. It looked like I was taking it in an original direction a little bit because the movie operates a little bit differently. But yes, it does assume not only that you're familiar with the Sonic universe, but you've also seen this very obscure movie that was direct to DVD, sorry, direct to VHS at that point in time, in that point in history. And it's a carbon copy almost of that whole plot.
Well, let's back up for a second. So let's introduce Sonic to our audience here.
Yes.
How would you describe Sonic the Hedgehog in the cast of that you happen to take into the fan fiction?
So Sonic the Hedgehog is a blue hedgehog that likes chili dogs and he runs really fast and that's his superpower. And he has a sarcastic attitude, a very sarcastic 90s skateboarder kind of attitude. And then Tails is his best friend. He's a fox with two tails and he can fly. And then there's Knuckles, which I describe as a hedgehog. He's not a hedgehog. He's an echidna. And he looks exactly like Sonic, so I truly don't know how they came up with the name, or that he's an echidna. I guess I haven't looked up a real-life echidna. Maybe he does look like one, but that's why I thought he was a hedgehog. And Sonic's rival is Dr. Robotnik, which is this very round fat man. He was actually called Eggman in the Japanese version. They call him Robotnik in the US version. I don't actually know the backstory on that, but that's okay. No one really cares about that. And the whole plot of Sonic is that he runs really fast and that he defeats, you know, Dr. Robotnik. And there was a movie about Hypermetal Sonic, which is clone. He makes a clone of his speed and puts it into a robot. And that's literally the plot of the movie, which is why I laughed at this story, because I'm like, wow, this is just slightly different, but honestly the same. And why I was really hoping, like, oh, holding out for the ending that never came, because I thought, might change its tune.
So you're basically writing the script of Hyper Metal Sonic.
Exactly. Like, there's very few, there's some changes, like, in the setting or how certain events play out. So, for example, the biggest sort of change in the plot is that in the movie, when Sonic's, DNA or whatever is like copied into this robot, both Sonic and this robot are fast, at the same speed. But in my story, Sonic like runs like a regular person. He's no longer fast. Like his speed is actually taken from him and put into this robot. And that's the only change I could find in this story. Other than some settings, like where certain things happen or how certain things play out, but it's literally the same kind of story, except for that key component.
So, why is this called Return of Hyper Metal Sonic? That's actually a question I had. Why is he returning? I've never heard of this guy before. What's the.
I guess I thought this was gonna be my script for the second movie. I don't know. Like this was gonna be the sequel movie. Like, oh my god, you guys, it's basically the same shit but slightly different. So I'm gonna pitch this to Sega and they're gonna make this into a movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, and throughout the story, you don't make any attempt to to reference the movie at all. Like, it is approached as a brand new story.
It's a whole new world, whole new day for these characters. I know. Continuity wasn't quite there yet, wasn't a concept I had grasped, and that's okay, I'm willing to admit and embrace that.
Well, so one other character that you mentioned in the story, Shadow the Hedgehog, right? Did
Oh,
I miss
right,
that?
yeah.
Yeah, so who is he and what is his relationship to Sonic?
That's actually really interesting too. I'd forgotten that was another key part of or key differentiator between the movie and my novel. Shadow does not show up in the movie at all. And Shadow is an anti-hero character. Like he's kind of Sonic's rival and he's kind of a bad guy depending on what game you play, but he's not exactly a bad guy. He's just kind of like a Seto Kaiba character where he does his own thing, wants to do his own thing, and but he's also kind of a rival, I think, honestly. I didn't it was interesting to me as well that Shadow was even brought into this because I wasn't too familiar with Shadow. Like never played the games with Shadow in it. I'm talking I played Sonic 1, Sonic 2, like on the CD ROM that you put into your computer. And I think I just heard of Shadow and I was like, oh, this is like what he's like, right? Or whatever. So I don't even know if I have that information correct or I'm understanding that information correctly.
I mean, the way that 12-year-old Alana wrote him, like, you would think that they were just fighting all the time, almost like siblings. Like, they were just like have every sing like take every single opportunity to just snipe at each other. That's how they're written.
Yeah, and I don't even know how I guess I would have to ask Carly what the lore is behind them because I'm not even sure I played enough or I've been exposed enough to Shadow to really know what he plays in this universe or what role he plays in this universe, like truly to this day. Because he's kind of a minor, they throw him in when it makes sense, but I don't even know when it makes sense to throw him in. But in this one, they're like brothers or something. I have notes about that too. I have things I want to touch on as well.
Before we get into that, I do have like one more background question, and this is I was kind of curious about because you did write like I know you're a big Sonic stan, and you like this is your one of your first novel fan fictions is about Sonic. What our audience might not know is that there is an entire Sonic subculture of just weirdness. I think you know what I'm talking about, Alana, like just the internet subculture. People will like draw their own Sonic characters and they'll be pregnant with each other's babies.
You're explaining like the weirdest part of the subculture, but yes, it does exist. You can look it up. It gets weird, so be prepared. audience.
Well, can you explain what's the subculture then in general? Because like that's the only part I'm familiar with. It's like this the pregnant OC characters.
Oh, I don't know if I can really speak to that. That's really more Harley's realm. Like, because I haven't tried to sit down and understand it. I've just been like, yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, though, like, how close does this get to the Sonic subculture? Because you're writing fan fiction about Sonic. Like, you are a step away from creating your own original Sonic character.
Oh my god, Francis.
It's a slippery slope, Alana.
I mean, it. Well, okay, slippery slope as in one fan fiction I could find in my banker box, but yes, okay. I just don't think I ever got there. Like, I think I got out of the fandom before I got super, or I became more knowledgeable than I would ever want to be. Because, yeah, I just played the first three, like, first ever Sonic games on CD-ROM. And then that was it until I started dating my now husband, who is a huge Sonic the Hedgehog fan. Although his relationship with both the character, the games, and the series, and the fandom as well as a whole, is very interesting and very funny. And we should probably do a whole episode on it, honestly, because Harley loves Sonic, but he also really hates Sonic. Like, there are so many things that are terrible about it, and he acknowledges it. He's not, like, blindly loyal to the game genre. He's like, no, there are massive problems, and honestly it makes me hate Sonic on a lot of levels as a gamer, as a fan, because it is so terrible. If you go too deep in there, it's like gets really creepy really fast.
Consider this a teaser, audience, because it's a doozy.
It really is.
It would be a great episode, and Harley's so funny, especially like explaining the pregnant OC character.
Oh yeah, exactly. God. Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, we really should. I'm gonna bring it up to him tonight and see what he says. But I think the world would honestly be better knowing. I'm sure he would disagree, but I feel like the world needs to know and wants to know what the real tea is about that. Now, this novel is titled Sonic: The Return of Hypermetal Sonic. Chapter 1. The rain chattered against the window of the strange but dry house. Another rainy day. When do you think it will stop, Sonic? Asked Tails with his face against the window. With it raining like this, not for a few days, said Sonic, looking in the refrigerator. But what if Dr. Robotnik is planning something, said Tails. Don't worry, no one would be stupid enough to come and get us, so let's just relax, said Sonic, turning on the TV. I guess you're right, said Tails, jumping onto the couch. Ha, another rainy day. Good thing I'm smart enough to make my plan to action, said Dr. Robotnik. Are you sure about that? Said RDO3. Yes, said Dr. Robotnik. For once, I have Sonic's special ability in my hands. I will rule the land of the sky. RDO3 just looked at him. Well, don't just stand there. Go and commence Operation Capture, yelled Dr. Robotnik. Yes, sir, RDO3 said with a hurry. It was dark in the strange house, and also quiet as well. Sonic and Tails were sleeping quietly as a tiny robotic spider climbed between the window. Soon the spider shot out a bright but tiny light came out of the front of the spider. The spider crawled quietly through the house. It first stopped in front of Sonic's room. Then Spider shined his light onto Sonic, then crawled away. Then the spider stopped in front of Tails' room. The spider shined his light on Tails. The spider then started beeping. Ha, what? Said Tails, rubbing his eyes. Then in a blink of AI, a huge net fell over Tails. Hey, get this off, Sonic, yelled Tails. Sonic woke up and ran out of his room. What the? Sonic said, rubbing his head. Sonic, yelled Tails again from outside. Sonic ran outside. Tails? But he was too late. Tails was gone. Chapter 2.
Did you get him? Said Dr. Robotnik. Yes, sir. Operation Capture was successful, said RDO3. Good, said Dr. Robotnik. Man, how do I work this thing? said Sonic. There was soon a knock on the door. Sonic opened the door to Knuckles. Hey, Sonic. Knuckles, what are you doing here? Said Sonic with a surprised face. Well, I thought I would take a break from treasure hunting to see you and Tails, said Knuckles. Where is that two-tailed guy anyway? He was captured last night, said Sonic with a sad face. By who? Knuckles asked. I don't know, said Sonic. But I bet this has something to do with Dr. Robotnik. Well, then let's go, said Knuckles. Dr. Robotnik walked into a room. Tails had his hands and feet locked against the wall. Well, Tails, are you comfortable? Tails just glared at him. Good, because I need you for a little something. Your plan will never work, Dr. Robotnik. Sonic will come and save me. You'll see, said Tails. Oh, I know he'll save you. That's exactly what I want. Knock, knock, was heard on the door. Hello, Sonic. I have your mail, yelled the mailman. Thanks, said Sonic, taking the video. Huh? What's this? Said Sonic, showing Knuckles. Looks like a tape. Put it on. Sonic pushed in the tape. Dr. Robotnik appeared on the screen. Hello, Sonic. Missing your friend Tails? Well, he could use some saving, said Dr. Robotnik. Soon Tails appeared on the screen, beat up and hurt. Tails, said Sonic. Then Dr. Robotnik appeared again. Yes, Sonic, so if you ever want to see your friend again, then come and save him. Here's a map to my place. See you there. Suddenly the TV blinked off. Sonic was holding the case to the video, and out slipped a piece of paper. Knuckles noticed it. Hey, what's this? Asked Knuckles. It's a map. Okay, Knuckles, let's go save Tails. But how? Asked Knuckles. My good friend, the tornado. Chapter 3. Hey, Knuckles, when do you think we're going to get there? Asked Sonic. Soon. Just hold on, said Knuckles. We're hitting a warp zone. Suddenly, the plane started spinning out of control. After a lot of spinning, it finally hit the ground. Ow, are you okay? Knuckles? Yeah, but I don't think the tornado will make it. Well, that's a chance we'll have to take, said Sonic, cracking his back. Has he arrived in the land of darkness yet, RDO3? Asked Dr. Robotnik. Yes, sir, they have. What do you mean, they, RDO3? Sonic seems to have come with a red hedgehog, Dr. Robotnik, said RDO3. Ah, yes, said Dr. Robotnik, Knuckles. Anyway, how long do you think to torture the fox? Oh, how long do you wish to torture the fox? Asked RDO3. As long as possible. It seems like we've been walking forever, Knuckles. When are we going to get there already? Asked Sonic, who was worn out. Hey, look, said Knuckles. Sonic looked and saw a big metal palace. That must be where Tails is. Come on, said Knuckles, flying off. Dr. Robotnik? Dr. Robotnik, Sonic and the red one are... Sonic and Knuckles busted in. Here, said RDO3. Okay, Dr. Robotnik, where's Tails? Said Sonic. Ah, Sonic, so glad you asked that because your friend doesn't look so good, said Dr. Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik pressed a button and Sonic saw two guys and a beat up Tails. The two guys pressed a button and the cuffs opened, leaving Tails to fall to the ground. Tails, said Sonic, running through a door in hyperspeed. But when he entered the door, he ran as fast as everyone else. Tails, are you okay? Asked Sonic. Sonic, you're here? That means you... Tails sat up. Sonic, why? To save you? said Sonic with a question face. Now he has... Tails pointed to Dr. Robotnik, who had a bright blue orb in his hand. Chapter 4. What? Said Sonic, looking at Dr. Robotnik. That's right, Sonic. You fell for it. You're so dumb, said Dr. Robotnik. What are you talking about, Dr. Robotnik? Said Sonic. Well, try running as fast as you can from all the way over there, said Dr. Robotnik. Sonic got up and ran, but he wasn't as fast as he was anymore. What's going on, Sonic? He said. He said, ran as fast as you can. What are you doing? Said Knuckles. Sonic looked at him and said, that was as fast as I can. A scared look appeared on Knuckles. Dr. Robotnik, I'll get you for this, yelled Sonic, running straight for Dr. Robotnik with a fist in the air. Dr. Robotnik was about to get punched when he disappeared. Where did he go? Asked Sonic. Looking for me, said Dr. Robotnik, who was right behind Sonic, still holding the orb. As you can see, anyone who holds the orb passes the power to run as fast as Sonic, said Dr. Robotnik. And so I built someone who would very much like this speed, said Dr. Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik pressed a button and a hyper metal Sonic appeared. See, I knew you wouldn't be stupid enough to give me your memory banks, but then I finally noticed that was enough speed that made you my opponent, said Dr. Robotnik. So if I took your speed, then you would be worthless. Sonic leered at him. So be the return of Hyper Metal Sonic, said Dr. Robotnik, putting the blue orb in a glass chamber on his chest. Chapter 5. The orb glowed brightly in the chest of Hyper Metal Sonic. So what are you going to do now, Sonic? Asked Dr. Robotnik. Sonic just stared in despair. Or dispense? Just, I think it's meant to be despair. Whatever. It's not spelled correctly, but that's fine. As the blue orb glowed, you know, said Dr. Robotnik, I didn't program him to just get you, so I guess I'll let you get some of your friends. Angry and mad, Sonic turned away with Tails at his side. Oh, and Sonic, Dr. Robotnik, said Dr. Robotnik, you only have 2 days. What? Moving on. Without looking back, Sonic left the palace with Tails and Knuckles. After about an hour, Tails, Knuckles, and Sonic were back at their strange house. Ow, ow, that hurts, said Tails. I know, Tails, but I have to dry you off a little. What? said Knuckles, patting on one of Tails' cuts. Oh, okay, I guess he's bleeding. Got it. Yikes. Anyway, Tails looked over at Sonic, who was looking down at the ground with a troubled face. So, who are we going to get to help us, Sonic? Asked Tails. No one, said Sonic, not even looking up. What? Said Tails and Knuckles. What do you mean, Sonic? You don't mean, said Knuckles, shocked. Sonic, how can you say that? Asked asked Tails. Sonic looked up at Tails, who was standing up. Sonic, you have taught me so much over the years, and all that time I trained to be just as fast as you, said Tails. And I found out that it wasn't your speed that made you strong. It was your own inner confidence. Sonic and Knuckles just looked at him. What I mean is, said Tails, we can kick Dr. Robotnik's butt. Yeah, said Sonic. Chapter 6. So, RDO3. Wasn't my plan great? Asked Dr. Robotnik. Yes, said RDO3. And wasn't my plan successful? Yes, said RDO3 again. And wasn't my. Yes, it's grand, okay? Yelled RDO3. Well, I can't wait any longer, said Dr. Robotnik. Hypermetal Sonic, go and find Sonic and his friends. Shadow. Wait, what? Yeah, I guess. Shadow, Shadow, I know you're in there, yelled Sonic, pounding on his door. The door opened a crack. What do you want, Sonic? Asked Shadow. Do you want to pick another fight that you know you won't win? Why, you. Tails and Knuckles quickly grabbed Sonic. Shadow finally came to the door and opened it. Okay, what do you want? Said Shadow. Sonic knocked off Tails and Knuckles. Well, now that I think of it, nothing, said Sonic, walking away. Sonic, said Tails. Look, Shadow, Dr. Robotnik took Sonic's speed and put it in a robot that wants to destroy us and all of the land of the sky. Shadow just looked down at Tails and said, and Sonic then burst out, and they want you to help them. Knuckles looked at Sonic, then Shadow, and said, well, we all want you to help. Well, in that case, okay, said Shadow. Shadow's ears then perked up. Something's coming. Tails, Sonic, and Knuckles looked around. Where? Asked Knuckles. Watch out! Metal Sonic just flew right into Knuckles. Chapter 7. Knuckles! Yelled Tails. Metal was pinning down Knuckles. Ha! Said Sonic, headbutting him off. Metal quickly recovered. Shadow put his hand on Sonic's shoulder. Sonic, leave this to ones with speed. Shadow walked past Sonic and turned into a spike ball at full speed. Metal turned into a spike ball as well and started ramming Shadow. Knuckles, are you okay? Asked Tails, helping him up. Yeah, but look at Shadow go. How can you say that? Asked Sonic, picking up a rock. How's this for amazing? Sonic suddenly threw a rock at Shadow. Shadow turned out of a spike ball. Ow! Metal then rammed Shadow to the ground. Oh, blank page? Okay. Ha-ha! Seems you're not so great after all, said Sonic. Shadow, are you okay? Asked Tails. Oh, come on, Tails. Why are you so soft all the time? Asked Sonic. I saw that, said Shadow. So what? Don't play stupid. I know you threw that rock, Sonic. Sonic stopped laughing. What are you talking about, Shadow? I know Sonic wouldn't do that, said Tails. Sonic's right, for once. You are too soft, Tails, said Shadow. Hey, look out, said Knuckles. Metal speeded up and grabbed Tails. Tails, said Shadow and Sonic at the same time. Metal had Tails' throat in his hands and was choking him. Stand back, Sonic, said Shadow. Why don't you, Shadow? Guys, this is no time to be arguing, said Knuckles. Stay out of this, Knuckles, said Shadow. You can't say that to Knuckles, said Sonic. Oh my god. Knuckles gave a expression of thanks. I can only tell him to stay out of it. Stay out of it. Oh, I can only tell him to stay out of it. So stay out of it, Knuckles. Fine, Knuckles said loudly. Knuckles flew over to Metal. He taped him on the shoulder. Oh, I think it's meant to be tapped, but it's taped. He taped him on the shoulder. Metal looked back and Knuckles punched him in the face. Thanks, Knuckles, Tails said quietly. Now, what to do with those two? Asked Knuckles. Chapter 8. Well, said Dr. Robotnik, has he eliminated them yet? No, sir. Seems they're actually putting up a fight, said RDO3. I see, said Dr. Robotnik. So, I want them dead, or I'll make you into scrap metal. Yes, sir, RDO3 said, running out of the room. Sonic, not even without your speed will you defeat me, said Dr. Robotnik. Guys! 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 Yelled Tails at Shadow and Sonic. Shadow and Sonic stopped and finally turned to the little orange fox. Yeah, Tails? Sonic asked. Look, if we ever start to think we can beat Dr. Robotnik, then we have to work together. Sonic and Shadow both crossed their arms and turned away. Tails rolled his eyes. I'll give you two a quarter. I'll give you two a quarter. They both turned around and stared in awe at the quarter in Tails' hand. Shiny, Sonic and Shadow said at the same time. They both glared at each other and crossed their arms. No way, Sonic said, shaking his head. How about two? I'm in, they both said at the same time. Once again, they glared at each other. Well, I'm not going to work with him, Shadow said. Knuckles put his hand over his forehead. This is going to be a long day. Target found. Sonic will be eliminated. Hyper Metal Sonic said, appearing in front of the Sonic gang. It started forming a blast in front of the blue orb in its chest. Sonic, run! Tails yelled, pushing Sonic out of the way. Meadow only turned to face them, and the blast was almost ready. But Tails! You don't need my help. I know you can beat him. Together. Meadow shot the blast. Go! Tails pushed the three out of the way and got hit himself. No, Tails! Sonic yelled in horror. Come on, we gotta get out of here, Knuckles said, flying off with Sonic and Shadow. Sonic stared at the ground as Knuckles flew him away. Was Tails really gone? Meadow ran into Dr. Robotnik's lab. He turned around. Ah, Meadow! Have you destroyed that annoying hedgehog yet? No, sir, but I did destroy this. From below the blue orb, Meadow created a TV. Dr. Robotnik eyed the TV as it showed a blast beam in Sonic's way as Tails was talking to him. Meadow then shot the blast, and instead of Sonic getting hit, Tails did. The TV went black into his chest. Shall I search for them again? Meadow asked. Dr. Robotnik shook his head. Don't worry, I'm sure he'll come to us. That's it. I have a page that says chapter 9 and there's nothing written. Let me see if there's anything hidden, because sometimes I would do that if I wasn't ready to commit yet to finishing a story. And no, that's where it ends. That's where it begins and ends. And that is the story of Sonic, the Return of Hyper Metal Sonic.
One of my notes for this was like, wow, it's weirdly very dark in a 90s kind of way. 12-year-old Alana's a little fucked up. Like, like there's a lot going on in this.
That is so interesting. I fully expected you to have notes and have a reaction, but that was not the reaction I thought you were going to have. And I'm very interested to hear more. Dark? I did not get dark from this. I thought it was really, like, kind of silly. But I guess maybe I'm missing the point of my own novel. Maybe it's meant to be dark. Also, it's a little bit, like, copyright infringement.
Maybe you, like, had this, like, really morbid hatred for Tails. Because, like, I think that's what I'm honing in on. Because, like, Tails is, like, fucked up at the, like... Like, he does not have a good point in the story where he's just, like, safe and that he's okay. Like, he's being beat up, he's tortured, he's killed, like, he is, he's done.
Yeah, he's the bottom of the totem pole, baby. Yeah, if we're just, like, lining it up.
And I don't think, like, ever in, like, 90s cartoons, like, do they show torture of any kind? Like, there's a part in the story where Robotnik, or was it RD03, ask Robotnik, how long do you want to keep torturing Tails? And Dr. Robotnik's like, just keep torturing him. Like, that's pretty fucking dark. Like, where did you pick this up from? I have no idea.
I think I was coming hot off of the G Gundam / Dragon Ball Z phase, because I was deep into Dragon Ball Z while I was deep into Sonic. So I think I just didn't have a good separation of that. Because, you know, in Dragon Ball Z, it's all about, like, beating the shit out of each other. Like, that is the whole show. So I think it was just that. I was just, like, doing too much DBZ in a Sonic, you know, universe.
Yeah, you know, because I could totally see that now after that transition. But, like, coming into this and me having the background of Sonic that I do, it's just like, this doesn't equate for a kids cartoon show. Like, 12-year-old Alana, like, took this to a place of of darkness. Tails just doesn't get a break. They're being chased by Metal Sonic, and Metal Sonic is just too powerful, and there's just a lot going on here. Like, there's there's some levity, like, to be sure, but, like, all of my notes are, like, I feel so bad for Tails.
Yeah, he is, you know what's so funny? Because I obviously have the perspective of me as a person because I've lived through my life. So I see this totally through my own lens. Like I, and that actually, like Tails, my, all of my notes about Tails are very, very much like, oh, I clearly saw Tails as the Mokuba character of this universe before I even knew what Mokuba was. Like, think about it. He's just, he's a minor character. He is just there to motivate Sonic, but he's not there to actually do anything. For some reason, he's, like, moving the plot forward, which Mokuba never had that much of a, like, plot line or subplot line. But, yeah, he's just sort of the, like, weak, infantile, whatever, motivational character. And that's, like, literally it. And so it made me laugh because I'm like, oh, one day I would go and find my own Mokuba character. Like, I didn't even know Mokuba existed at this age. I was so young then. And so, yeah, I gravitate towards, like, less popular or like non-main characters. Like Mokuba is the most inconsequential fucking character. He's basically an accessory to Seto, and that's what I projected onto Tails. Like Tails is a real character in his own universe, but me, he is just a punching bag in this story.
I can totally see the alignment that you're making. I think for me though, like Mokuba was never tortured. like
he flies around and he's cool and he does other things. Not in my story, bitch. He is a victim of the universe he lives in, which is my mind.
Yeah. So one of my other notes is like I noticed that there's a lot more of an attempt at humor in this. I keep wanting to call it a novel.
Wait, it is a novel. I give you permission.
in this novel, versus like your first one with Alan B. Like I think you are trying. Like it seems to me like there's a lot more range of emotion. Like there's humor. There's dark torture in here, and so that's interesting to me.
Man, the year of between 2001 and 2002 was just a big year for me as a writer, developmentally and otherwise. And I think I just had more kind of accessibility to more words and more understanding of concepts. Like something that I did notice that there was more description, or at least an attempt at description. I'm still describing question face or angry face. Or
I took that down to chapter two. The amount of times that somebody makes a quote unquote surprised face or a sad face, like
yeah, the way I try and communicate emotion is still pretty. There's some difficulty there. There's still some room for improvement. I also kept noting how often I called the house that they lived in strange and dry, which I'm like, did you previously live in a house with holes in the roof? Like, did you notice that? Just for me was the thing that kept popping up. I'm like, why is it a strange house? Why is it a strange? But that was like, I must have just learned that word or something because I kept using it so much. But I definitely see some growth as a writer here, right? I feel like I have some access to a larger vocabulary, and I'm just super excited to use it. Not necessarily in a way that makes sense or I overuse it, but yeah, I think that there's obviously still some room for improvement. And, yeah, I did see, you know, some growth, but still some room for improvement. And, yeah, the humor, wow, I really did. And I think that kind of calls to the universe. Like, Sonic is a very kind of sarcastic, he makes jokes, he's like a cool guy kind of character. Whereas, Alan B. just isn't. I don't know, that universe didn't call so much for humor. I think
it's funny that you call him sarcastic, because I like, you're totally right, like in the original universe of Sonic he is pretty sarcastic. In this yeah. universe, I don't know that I would call him sarcastic. Like, you didn't write him as sarcastic. Like,
oh, it's, yeah. If if this girl didn't understand description, she did not understand sarcasm. I still don't, as a 29-year-old.
knowing you as a person, you still don't get sarcasm. So
I would never. Oh my god, you introduce the word sarcasm at this age and my mind would be blown.
Like, if it the closest person in this whole story I would call sarcastic is like RDO3. He's more of a CPO3 kind of sarcasm, I guess, if you could even call it that, like sassiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the other things I took, Sonic and Knuckles' entrance in Chapter 3, I saw that as very cartoonish, in the very 90s kind of style. It's like, you can just picture, like, the Ninja Turtles bursting through a wall, like, the way Sonic and Knuckles did. Like, it's almost exactly the same way. That's what I was picturing in my head. But this kind of leads me into the ending of just a cliffhanger, where, if I remember correctly, this is where... Hyper Metal Sonic just kind of like has this TV showing and Tails jumping in front of the camera and it goes black and that was it. And and you're just like looking for the next chapter. That's so '90s. Like, if I could tell you like how many animes that I've seen that just end in that fashion, like you were definitely taking influence from what you were watching at the time. Like, I think that's what the, like, one of the major kind of things, like, you saw these things and you were incorporating it into your story.
Oh, for sure. And that was actually another note that I had made myself too, separately. So I love that we were both kind of taking from the story the same thing. Like the fact that when like Tails gets kidnapped, they watch on a tape him saying, "Oh, he's kidnapped, like you have to go find him." And I think I even described, like, "Oh yeah, they see it on the tape." And I'm like, "Oh, it's, you know, clearly a VHS or a quarter, like, I'll give you 2 quarters." And it's like, "Wow, shiny." And like, that's so clearly like not just like 90s, but also being a little kid. But I say 90s because a quarter was probably worth a lot back then in the 90s, let's be honest. You know, adjusted for inflation and all that. But yeah, just very funny, very 90s, like the way that certain things happen, action scenes are introduced, and just a lot of tropes. Yeah, for sure, a lot of tropes from other 90s shows. And yeah, even like the way that they interact or some of the jokes that were included, I felt like you would have seen on another 90s show, like you reference, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Almost like the bickering between Sonic and Shadow, definitely another 90s thing.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of maybe even the interactions between RDO3 and Robotnik. Like, yeah, there's a lot of sort of 90s-esque dramatics going on here.
Yeah.
One of my other notes here, some of the emotional reactions of the characters, it just seems like, I still think, like, at this point, emotional Alana doesn't understand, like...
emotions.
Urgency, or... well, it's less, like, not even just emotions. It's like, okay, Tails got kidnapped, but Sonic is... still has some time to, like, go get the mail from the mailman and throw in a VHS. Like, oh, shouldn't he be concerned? Like, especially for Robotnik's torturing, like, Tails, like...
Right, exactly. And Knuckles is like, "How? Where's Tails?" Like, "Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen him since last night when I literally heard him go, 'Oh no, I'm being kidnapped,' or something." Like, I'm pretty sure Tails exclaimed as he was being kidnapped. And Sonic's like, "That's weird."
Like, I mean, like, and like, even later on, like, Tails is literally dying and Metal and Sonic are like fighting with each other, like, as Tails is dying. And... oh, and then like in the middle of like this, I think Knuckles gets yelled at and Sonic sticks up for him. Like, right, Metal yells at Knuckles, Sonic sticks up for him, and then right immediately after, Knuckles like gives this expression of thanks, but then Sonic yells at Knuckles also again in the same breath, and it's just like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, these guys clearly have other priorities. Yeah, also, I really loved when there was that bit, I think, I can't remember, wasn't Shadow at one point fighting Metal And then Sonic's like, oh, whatever, you can't be as cool as me. And he throws a rock and that somehow disrupts
Yes.
the whole thing. And it's like, oh, it wasn't me though. I'm like, what is this? Like, guys, aren't we fighting like your arch nemesis who stole your DNA, who stole your speed? Like, you are effectively ineffective right now. And we're arguing about this. Like, what the fuck is this story? Yeah, priorities are like strange. And I'm definitely emotionally stilted still at this age.
Yeah, and then sort of the climax of the film, or the film, the novel. This isn't the climax. What is it called, like right before the climax? The
Oh, rising action, I'm pretty
yeah, like
sure.
sort of like right before we get to the climax, where Sonic has like this self-doubt about like, well, how can I beat Metal? I'm no longer fast. And Tails's explanation is like, well, I learned to run from you, and it's actually inner confidence. Inner confidence makes you fast. Like what, bitch? Like I don't need, like I separated this from like the 90s tropes because like where the fuck did this come from?
It's the funniest part of the whole fucking story. Yeah. And I even, like, as I was re-listening to it, like, I laughed as I read that. Like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, Alana was a dreamer. Definitely a big dreamer. Like, oh, it's okay, Alana. Like, you're not good at basketball. It's just because you need inner confidence, not because, like, I have no endurance. I'm not well trained. I'm not fit at all. Like, no, inner confidence is what will sail all my balls into the baskets. Oh my God. Yeah, that was very funny. Which is why I really wish I had the story had ended, because I really wanted to see how inner confidence was gonna get Sonic through this. And I do know that I was fully intending to finish the story, because on the last page, I wrote, in big letters, chapter 9 at the top of the page, like I was gonna go and write the rest, and I never did, and I'm so upset. I wish I could go back to what year was this? 2002, and just go, girl. What happened? Because I'm dying to know. It really, I'm very upset that I never finished this story. Thankfully, I don't think, I think a lot of my stories have an ending, like Allenby's Greatest Adventure, but I am upset that we never find out what happens and how inner confidence comes into play.
That's probably the only reason why I would want this to come back, 'cause like otherwise I have no idea. I don't know that I'd watch this anime.
I know this movie, even though you did call it a movie, therefore acknowledging that it is a movie. Actually, kind of coming off of Allenby's Greatest Adventure, now looking at this kind of side by side, does this change your perspective of me as a 12-year-old? I mean, the first story was when I was 11. 12, apparently, I went through some shit when I went through puberty. I did go through puberty at 12. Like, does this change your perspective? Does it make you more horrified? Or is it just more concerning? Or, like, tell me, have your views of me as, like, little Alana changed?
Well, I so like knowing what I do now about like your influences of from this story, like it totally makes sense coming off of Dragon Ball Z into Sonic that you took some of the darker aspects of DBZ into Sonic. I actually was a little impressed with the way that you were switching between two points of view. You had Sonic's point of view in one hand and Robotnik's on the other. It just my issue with that though is just like the jump was so very was harsh. Like there's really no transition between the jumps. Like you go from Sonic one time, then you go to Robotnik the other time. You don't and 12-year-old Lana like makes no attempt to try to explain who these characters are. She's just like she assumes that you're already like you already know what Sonic's special ability is and.
Yeah, you're a Sonic stan when you jump into this novel. It's not for everyone, just for the Sonic stans.
Yeah, exactly. But like it shows that you did have some growth. Like you were trying to incorporate other kind of storytelling elements into this next novel, which is, pretty impressive. I don't know that I would have thought that far ahead as a 12-year-old. I mean, I don't know that I would have written a novel as a 12-year-old, so
At least not as like dark and intense and as DBZ inspired as this one.
Yeah, like I honestly would not have known. I don't know that I would have known anything about the word torture. Like that still gets me when you read that part off and it was just like, how long am I going to keep torturing? I was like, what? I didn't even know Tails was being tortured. Dr. Robotnik's torturing him right now? What the fuck?
What a psycho. Oh my god, you're so right. And, you know, I definitely think that I was at a stage in my, like, you know, grade 6 English class where I learned, oh, you can do different perspectives. Like, you're totally right. I didn't do different perspectives in Alan B's Greatest Adventure. I mean, yes, it was written in, like, I think it was written in the first person. I can't remember now, but I'm pretty sure it was. But still, like, it would have been nice to at least, tried to explain some things or put me with other characters to then understand different points of view, which is something I did here that I hadn't done in the last story. So I guess growth, but questionable growth, you know, whether it's the right direction or not. It's apparently a very like torturous, there's a lot of blood in this one. Yeah, you're right, it is kind of creepy now that I think about it and I kind of take a step back.
It's not creepy per se, it's just dark. It's like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, it's just, it's not what you would think of as a 90s cartoon.
Yeah, I guess because the Alan B's Greatest Adventure thing, I try so hard to be so serious. I guess I was serious. Well, at least I was dark in this. I don't know. I guess, but not serious enough to care that it was so dark and that Tails was like literally bleeding and dying. there were just other things going on, I guess. But yeah, this one was definitely a great looking glass. But I definitely miss kind of the Alan B universe and like the seriousness of it all. Like it was all just so dramatic. And this, I mean, things were dramatic, but the characters didn't care enough for me to feel like it was dramatic, right? Like, didn't you get that sense that even the characters didn't care that what was going on?
I mean, because yeah, they have no urgency. Like, that's they just don't like they. Oh, Tails is kidnapped. Well, let me go get the mail. Let me pop in this VHS and see what the deal is.
Let's do it for a quarter. Let's all get along for a quarter. Oh, it's shiny. Okay, like this. It's. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's stupid because it's just me being like a 12-year-old, but it is really stupid. Which I guess all of, like, in the grand scheme of things, right? All the fanfiction is stupid. I just would have really enjoyed, some more urgency, some me to use this expanded vocabulary in an interesting way. But yeah, it just turned out to be very funny and silly and short. This one was very short. I feel like this was shorter than the Alan B one.
Yeah, I took down about eight chapters.
Yeah,
I think the other one was a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, I don't really have any other thoughts just because it was so short and it was so silly and but yeah, I mean, it is still very funny. And I do like kind of seeing how I evolved. Like this was, there were certain parts that were way easier to read in this part just because it did flow a lot better. And my writing was just a little bit better. There wasn't as many hilarious spelling mistakes. Like I kind of just had a better concept of the English language at that age.
Is this your last Sonic fanfic or did you write more?
This is my last Sonic fanfic that I could find. Yeah, I did not live in that universe for very long, apparently. And for good reason. Okay, guys, look. You don't want more of this. All right, I'm telling you. You don't want more of this.
Well, folks, the commitment Francis and I made as co-host almost 4 years ago included finding out what the Sonic fandom really consisted of. So this bonus clip you're about to hear will be from the perspective of the most educated Sonic fan we know, Harley.
Harley, can you tell us a little bit more about Pregnant Sonic? Alana couldn't really speak to Pregnant Sonic, and I really want to hear more about the fan culture around it.
Specifically Sonic the Hedgehog being pregnant or one of the other characters?
Well, like, why do the characters need to be pregnant? Like, why are they pregnant with each other?
You don't even understand that. You are just scratching the surface. There's Christian Sonic. There's, like, super buff Sonic that's, like, always fucking Shadow. There's, like, every single permutation of perversion that you can imagine. There is some nasty shit, and Sonic the Hedgehog is doing it. Are you good, Alana?
She's dying over there.
I'm sorry. It's the way Harley talks about this. That's just so funny. Because he loves Sonic so much.
And it's just so nasty.
It's so nasty. So it's like the irony of loving something and like the fandom makes you like hate it. And it creates that hesitation and fully immersing yourself in loving something, a fandom like Sonic, because of, I guess, the fandom.
So can I ask, how did this start? Like, how did this start in the Sonic fandom? Like, how do we go from just like Sonic defeating Eggman to pregnant Sonic to buff Sonic? Like, where does this like even begin?
Okay, so it's important that you understand the thing that makes it make a little bit more sense is that there are so many Sonic fans, right? And that people make so much stuff. Like, there's a whole like culture even around just making Sonic fan games, and Sega supports it. It's actually really cool of them. It's, you know, like Nintendo, they obviously DMCA everything in like 1 second. But I really think it's just the sheer amount of stuff, like the people creating stuff. It's just like, you are going to get weird shit.
Yeah, because of just like the volume of original content out there.
Something about it, people want to make original content for it. I don't know, like, because you know, there's like a bunch of people love all sorts of stuff, but you don't see people making like fan films and like weird. Well, you see weird porn for everything, but.
Well, I mean, like, you see like the Pokemon knockoffs. You see like, you know, like some of those stuff, and you, like you were saying, like Nintendo shuts them down pretty quickly. Like Sonic has just gone off the rails. Like, according to what you're like, it's
And Sega supports it to a certain extent. They're not supporting the weird shit, but like Sonic Mania, that was made by the guy. If you go backwards in the timeline, he made the guy who did like the engineering, the software side of it. He made Sonic 2 and Sonic 1 and Sonic CD mobile ports. They were like really amazing. Like they did some stuff that was like, oh hey. They made a 2D game run in 16:9 that was never made for it. That's not really like, you can't just tell a game to render more when it's a sprite-based game like that. So he's like, you know, this weirdo super genius who's just decided he wanted to make Sonic stuff. And before that, he made that engine from scratch. So he was making fan games with it, and Sega was like, hey, do you want to like just make our games? And
but that's like the cool shit. Like, that's like cool technical shit.
Right. The other stuff, it's just, you have enough people who want to make things, you're going to get some weird shit.
And I think that like, kind of to your point, Harley, is that Sonic, the Sonic team, I guess because they're so welcoming of outside people or outside fans, maybe that has an adverse effect where it welcomes fans, or fans feel more inclined to really be their true selves, like more so than we ever thought we would see. And that welcoming nature means that, like, when you type in, what is it, Sonic and Tails, you see Sonic and fucking Tails, literally the top search. And that's been like that for years.
Well, it's not like that anymore.
Oh, really?
When I was like 12, I Googled Sonic and Tails because I was like, I want to see a cool Sonic and Tails picture. And like the first image result, maybe the second, actually, I think it was maybe the second, was Sonic butt fucking Tails.
No!
It was really bad.
Now you're getting into some real like Sonic shit.
So,
yeah, girl.
So you want to get into the real shit to understand how much stuff is made, just like random fan shit. I guarantee no matter what your name is, you can Google your first name followed by the hedgehog and you will get results. There will be image results. There is a Harlequin the Hedgehog.
So there's going to be like Alana the Hedgehog?
Yep. It might not be a hedgehog necessarily, but you'll see, it'll be like, oh, it's actually an echidna, this one. Or, you know, they'll have like their own animal. This one's a fox.
Oh my God, you're right. It is Alana the...
Yeah, and there's probably more than one if you go down. And like different art styles, a lot of them will be traces.
Is the fandom mostly made up of like 12-year-olds though? Because that's what this looks like.
So you also have to remember a lot of this stuff is old. Because it never goes away. It's been on the internet forever. I'm looking at Francis the Hedgehog right now. He's really cool.
That's it for our show, folks. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And you can find us on Instagram at hqaf.productions. We post every other week.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And until next time,
the best ship to sail on is friendship.